But before I give the homily, I just wanted to ask the altar boys to do me a little favor. Yesterday morning at the 9 o'clock Mass, there was a woman sitting in this section somewhere over there who lost her diamond engagement ring. And she asked if anybody could take a look for it, because she would be offering a reward of $500. So I know she was sitting over in this section. If you guys just do me a favor, check maybe underneath the pew, look around for a moment. Anybody? Okay, April Fool's. Okay. I'll tell you, when a priest did that to me about 30 years ago or 40 years ago, I was underneath that pew. He got me so good. I was on my hands and feet underneath that pew in St. Paul's Church in Norristown, Pennsylvania. And that's probably the day I decided to become a priest. Because I says, oh, I got to do that to the people one day. So I always enjoy doing that every 7 years whenever April Fool's Day falls on a major day. But that was when I think the seed of my vocation may have been planted. And tonight I wanted to talk a little bit about the priesthood, the Holy Eucharist, and the commandment to love and serve, because that's what Holy Thursday is all about. Tonight the Lord instituted the sacred priesthood, the Holy Eucharist, and gave the commandment to love and serve one another. What is a priest? The bishop told us today at the Chrism Mass that the priest is the love of the heart of Christ. That is a definition of St. John Vianney. The priest is the love of the heart of Christ for his people. And that Pope Paul VI said that the priest is the blessing of God, to be a blessing to other people. That is what a priest is, to be the blessing of God. Christ instituted the priesthood at the Last Supper. And really, the priest is a gift of God's love to you. Because without the priest, we would not have the Eucharist. We would not have Jesus. If every priest were killed in the world, there'd be no Mass, no Holy Communion, no confessions, no anointing of the sick. That's how dependent we are on the priest to give us Jesus. And I do hope and pray that some of you will feel the call to the priesthood. Remember when Father Richards was here, he told each of you, what'd he tell you? Be a priest. And any of the girls, he said, be a nun in full habit. That was what he told the girls. And so, just out of curiosity, how many of you are open that if God's calling you, how many of you are open to the priesthood? Okay, let's congratulate these guys. So that's the key, to be open. If God calls you, to be open to the priesthood. Remember, there is only one priest, and that is Jesus Christ. Father Anthony, Father Ramon, we share in the one priesthood of Christ. And we're not chosen to be priests because we're worthy. Nobody's worthy to become a priest. It's despite our unworthiness that he calls us. It's not our worthiness, it's his. It's Christ's worthiness. We participate in the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful vocation it is, that I do hope and pray that many of you will be called to the priesthood. St. John Bosco says that one out of three young men are called to the priesthood. So a lot of you, I believe, would be called to the priesthood. As a priest, there's great blessings to be able to preach the Word of God, to pass on the faith to grown-ups and to children, to teach the faith, to generate Christ in the souls of others. And what a great blessing it is to be able to baptize children, babies, to baptize adults. Saturday night, we're baptizing lots of adults here in the church, to be able to generate The life of grace within the soul of a person is a gift of infinite value to help them to wash away original sin and all sins of their life, to be able to give them the indwelling of the Blessed Trinity within their soul. What a great privilege and gift that is, that we as priests and also, of course, deacons have. And also to be able to witness marriages, to unite couples in Christ, to unite couples in holy matrimony until death do they part. Then to bring healing and joy to the sick and comfort and consolation to the dying. One of the greatest privileges we have as priests is to prepare souls for heaven, to visit the sick, the dying, to bring them Jesus, to bring them their viaticum, their food for the journey, to hear their confession. Just a few days ago, a woman 20 years away from confession, on her deathbed, going to confession. What a beautiful thing that is, to be able to reconcile souls to God at the end of their life, to place that brown scapular over them and to help them, to prepare them for eternal life. To hear their confession, to give them Jesus, to give them the anointing of the sick, the last rites. It's one of the greatest privileges you'll ever have as a priest to help people get to heaven. Then, of course, the greatest thing the priest does is to work the miracle of changing bread and wine into the body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ. When he says those words, an invisible miracle takes place. When he says those words, "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood," Jesus becomes present on the altar. A priest has more power than the President of the United States, because he cannot work a miracle, but a priest can. He can change bread and wine into Jesus. And that is the great miracle of transubstantiation. And that's something that maybe some of you will one day be able to do. Then the priest can also say the most wonderful words ever spoken: "I absolve you from your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Imagine to have the very power of Christ, where Jesus uses you as an instrument to forgive sins, to wash away the sins of a lifetime. People 30, 40, 50 years away from confession, you could be an instrument to absolve them of their sins, where Jesus can use you as his voice, as his instrument to absolve sins, to act in persona Christi, to be another Christ. So we pray tonight that the seeds of your vocation may be planted, and that one day, if God wills, you'll be saying your first Mass, maybe at this very altar here at our Church of Holy Trinity. And think of the great gift of the Eucharist. We think about that tonight, on the night when Christ instituted the Eucharist 2,000 years ago, that Jesus is not a distant God. He's not just somewhere up in the heavens, but becomes present on our very altar and in our very tabernacle. That he remains with us. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He gives himself to us. He nourishes our souls and feeds us with his body and blood to help us to get to heaven. So he comes to us at the Mass, and he stays with us in the tabernacle, where we can come every day or at least once a week to receive him and then to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament. And then lastly, he gives us the commandment to love. In a few moments, we will wash the feet of 12 of the servers to encourage you to also consider the priesthood and to consider being a servant of Almighty God. Remember our Blessed Mother? She said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. I am the servant, the slave of the Lord." Scripture says that Christ, even though he was God, did not deem equal to be God something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and took the form of a slave. So Jesus became a slave, a servant, and he washed the disciples' feet. And that's what we're called to do as priests, to take care of the sick, to visit the homebound, to visit those in the hospital, those prisoners. We're there to serve the people by spending hours in the confessional. We're there to be servants to our people. But maybe if you're called to the married life. If you're called to married life, as a husband, you're called to love and serve your wife and children. Wives, to love and serve your husband and children. Children, to serve your parents and one another. And in fact, I just heard a story of a couple. They had gone to Steubenville University, Franciscan University. They're not from our parish, but I heard his description of how he proposed to his wife when they were just dating. They were engaged, and he decided to ask her for her hand in marriage. And so what he did, he sat her down, he got a basin of water and a towel, he took her shoe off, placed her feet in the basin, and he washed her feet. And then his proposal was, "Would you give me the honor of allowing me to serve you as your husband for the rest of my life?" Isn't that an amazing wedding proposal? I think she said yes, by the way. Now, who would say no to a husband that would wash his wife's feet and say, "Allow me the privilege of serving you for the rest of my life"? But that's what marriage is all about. And a true husband, a true wife, will do that for your spouse. Every day, you wake up and say, "How can I serve you today?" Kids, you wake up and say, "How can I help you, mom and dad, today?" Priest, "How can I help my people today?" That is the commandment of love. Jesus said, "I give you a new commandment." He didn't say it was a suggestion. He didn't say it was a recommendation. He says, "I give you a commandment to love and serve one another."